one very big part beyond the vibrational level and the frequency level to match, right, is mindfulness. Because by doing these things, we are not just sitting on a table and rushing and watching on the phone and eating our food. No, we need to take a pause for a moment.
Welcome to the Voices of the One Mind, where the elixir of wisdom flows freely. Join us as we dive into the profound thoughts of extraordinary human beings who embody wisdom, offering insights that serve as a bridge to awakening. Unshackling minds from the chains of suffering, our conversations pave the way for enhanced health, enriched lives, and exponential spiritual growth. Get ready to sip on the nectar of the One Mind with us.
Welcome everyone to a new episode of the Voices of the One Mind. We have another wonderful guest, another time I have to say, because it's the third episode we are doing with a beautiful Kosho Sama, a Zen monk, dear friend of mine, Swiss national champion in deep diving, and we have him here today in the Netherlands. And what are we going to talk about?
Thank you again for being my host. You know, it's some days we are living together, and I can see some habits of yours on your daily life that I want to pick. So when we discussed a little bit before what are we going to talk about today, I suggested you, and I want to suggest it to you again, like, why don't we speak about what we could call like spiritual add-ons? Because I have a baseline practice. Okay, I practice Zazen. And you have a baseline practice, when I don't know all the secrets about it. But everybody is having some kind of baseline practice, and then there is all the little add-ons they bring. What do you do? What do you do as a physical special exercise? What do you do every day? What is your little secret about like looking this handsome or still young at your age? What is the secret of a monk about like being smiley and ha ha ha? What is your secret about drinking good water? What is your secret around food? What is the secret with the little practices that are a little bit like magical, secret, and that allows you to, let's say, keep your daily life entertaining, your spiritual practice entertaining, and always discover new stuff when you meet people of other traditions. So that's what I would like we speak today and that we exchange together. What are the spiritual and vitality add-ons you bring in your life so that your spiritual practice is always at the top and that you feel you are in control of any all instant during the day?
Wow, that's a great topic. That's a great topic. So interesting that as we stay together, that you observe my daily, you can call it either routines or habits.
Yeah.
And it's definitely a very beautiful one. Yeah, so I think what we want to share is what we are doing in a daily routine besides our main spiritual practices, besides a sazen, besides a deep inquiry. What are the little things of the day to enrich our spiritual lives, right?
Yes, that's it.
And I think this is also very helpful and beneficial for people out there. We'll probably touch a few topics also with nutrition and other things. So talking about nutrition, I mean, I for myself have embarked many years ago in a in something that is called denutritional balance.
Denutritional balance.
The nutritional balance, exactly. Okay. Yeah, and the nutritional balance is practically you eat around 80% vegetables and 20% protein.
Okay.
Something in this ratio. So the protein can be either meat, the protein can be fish,
okay.
The protein can be eggs or cheese.
Yeah.
Which are the richest protein in that sense. I don't eat meat, so I do quite a lot of, I do eat a lot of sardines.
What about like a protein powder?
I don't know. I have not been taking protein powder. Every now and then I mix a little bit. I do a morning drink that I can explain, but every now and then I put some hemp protein there.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I have not dived very deep into one thing that somebody was saying. There are some doctors that they say that protein powder destroys the structure of the cellular system in the brain, something like
yeah,
this.
Like,
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. But of course, if people feel safe with it and good with it, also protein powder, whey protein or whatever is a good source. So yeah, this nutritional balance I used to do until approximately 2 years ago. I used to do it three times a day. So I would wake up in the morning, cut my veggies, steam the veggies, and eat the veggies and one protein.
Okay.
And then the same for lunchtime and the same for dinner. So I for 6-7 years I would completely eat the same every
yes,
day.
Okay. And would you do something special around your food, for example? Like would you, I don't know, energize it in a way? Or do you have a relationship with that diet you're mentioning that would accept the pure scientific aspect of eating a ratio of 8, if I understood well, 20% protein, 80% fibers.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something you would do around your food, like maybe, I don't know, wash them with a special water or do a specific prayer?
I mean, obviously, what we have at home is a water filter that takes out all the stuff that is there in the water that can take out chlorine and also heavy metals. So a good water filter is necessary.
Nice, yeah.
And after that, after the water is filtered, we do indeed energize the water.
Okay.
With an energizing system. I just only have a little stick that almost looks like a pen.
Okay.
And all you do is you just stir a little bit in the water. And in that pen, there is some structured water. So the original structure of water when it comes out the mountain,
mm-hmm.
which unfortunately our water doesn't have, because by leading water through tubes, it goes to corners, and the more corners the water hits, the more the structure gets destroyed.
Yes, I understand.
And that the Russian scientists from the Russian Academy of Science found that out already 20, 25, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's why people in the old days always used to live at the water. Only nowadays, with the Romans, people have lived away from the water.
Yes,
and the Romans started to build aqueducts.
Yes,
so that
yes.
the water comes to them. Which
okay.
is not a very clever idea.
Okay.
Yeah, you should live with the water. And people could, you know, if you look at the big cities, especially in Europe, the big cities, they are all on big rivers.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you cannot drink that water anymore, but obviously...
Yeah, it was like a trend one time in the United States. I don't know if it's still the case. I think it was like during Corona or just before, just after, where the guys, they were like selling raw water.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Are you into raw water? Like, I mean, like, have you already drank the water of a river?
Many times in my life, I've been out in nature, be it in the mountains in Europe, be it in Montana, you know,
yeah.
where I spend lots of summers, be it in Mongolia, Siberia. Fantastic, you know.
So you've tasted different wild waters.
Absolutely,
oh, wow.
absolutely. Wow. Yeah, that's obviously.
Do you think it's a secret of vitality to be able to drink the water in the wild? Because I mean, I guess that a lot of people would be a little bit scared. Is it safe to drink?
Absolutely. I generally think that any water, anything that is consumed in the way that nature directly provides it, is very beneficial for life.
Yes.
If the things are not processed.
Yeah.
And even water is processed.
Yes, you're right.
Either it's processed through, chemical things that they put stuff in there until it arrives to you, or it's processed because it comes through. So what the Russian scientists found out, if it makes nice curves, it's okay. But if the water is constantly in a tube, like this, the structure gets completely destroyed with the angles. The structure gets completely destroyed. And there is an Austrian natural scientist. He got very famous in the. He's like the godfather of water. He's called Viktor Schauberger.
Schauberger, I know about Schauberger.
And he was just sitting when he was a boy and a youngster. He was working in the forestry, floating trees down the river.
Yes,
that was his job.
Yeah, okay, like and, the Timmermans.
Yeah, yeah. And he thought at one stage, if we put a little bit stones in the water like there and like there, it would flow faster.
Yes,
and then
yes,
he
yes.
observed all of a sudden that the water changes completely.
Yes, I've passed hours in the temple inspired by Schauberger to replace stones in the water and to rebound on what you said about wild water, we had like a source and the taste of the water at the there was like one place in the mountain with stones where the water of the mountain was collected and then it will go through like copper conduct and stuff like that, and the taste of the water in that stone place compared to the taste and even the pH was completely different. That was like almost sugary, to a little bit scary. Because
very sweety, right?
Yes, more sweet, more alive, more sweet.
Absolutely, that's the sweetness of life.
Yeah,
it is the sweetness of life. Like literally speaking, the sweetness of life is also preserved in the water. And there is this fact of healing water, right? There are some wells, there are sacred wells, and there is healing water coming out, like in
in the baptism.
In the baptism, for example, exactly. Yeah. And Dr. Masuro Emoto, Professor Masuro Emoto, has made a lot of experiments with the rice.
You do that? Like for example, when I was in World Championship, I saw like a few free divers, everybody comes with their bottle of water, and some have like very specific like kind of thermos and stuff, and I spotted few free divers that had written things on their thermos in order to like inspire the water they drink with like success, I don't know, like love or
gratitude.
Gratitude, inner peace. You do that?
I don't do that anymore. Funnily enough, I was one time a partner in a young startup company in Germany, and they produced water bottles. With beautiful designs, water bottles of glass with beautiful designs. And I suggested them to do one of these bottles to make one with love and gratitude. And at the end, it turned out it was the best-selling one.
Yes.
Well, inspired by Masuro Emoto, a person, by the way, that passed, transcended. But I was personally in contact with him a few times to exchange ideas. So he has proven that definitely it works. And what he has proven is when we think beyond that, not just speaking to water or to rice that is in water. When we imagine that the human body is 80-85% water.
Yes, 75.
It depends on the age, right?
And the days.
And the days, exactly. An immense amount of water. There are plants, they are 89% water, for example, you see. And then if we take the fact that Masaru Emoto has proved that this works how I approach, then we know that how am I going to speak to a person, or how am I going to speak to a plant?
Yeah,
absolutely influences the vibrational field via the water.
Yeah,
And that's that should give us really to think when parents, for example, are angry or shouting with the children. It is stored. It is stored in the water of the children. That information is stored.
You know that even I've read or learned in a way or another that the water inside of us is not renewed this easily if we don't do any specific diet or fasting, so that eventually, when you speak about like children who have been shouted out by their parents, may influence the water. This water even may stay in the body for long years.
Absolutely. The only way how water really completely renews in the body is by a long dry fast.
Yeah.
If you do a long dry fast and then you expose yourself to water, to go swimming in a lake, to expose yourself to a humid environment, to drink a lot, then you change.
You've done long dry fastings?
I have done long dry fastings. I have done dry fastings. Yeah. Like 7 days, well, 8 days. I've done vision quests, 4 days, dry fasting. This is pretty cool. I mean, this is the cool stuff, you know. This is really when we talk about spiritual add-ons, I would say the mother of a spiritual add-on is not eating and not drinking.
Fasting, dry fasting.
I would not have any idea what add-on could give more boost.
You know, I totally agree with you. I've done like 7 days, no food, no drinks, and then kept, after the seven first days, I could drink and I didn't eat for 21 days. And that was one of the most fulfilling experiments of my life. I did it because my master did it. But it's not something, for example, in Zen, it's not something which is not a requirement. It's not a requirement. So it's really like a wonderful add-on, like dry fasting. And during the dry fasting, I could like do Keshari Mudra. You know, I practice Keshari Mudra. So I could like live of that complete fantasy that my my brain, my soul, my spirit could feed me and give me water, or that I could like absorb the humidity of the air through my skin. That is really something really powerful.
It is.
I completely join you in it, that dry fasting and fasting is
absolutely
perfect.
And I said to you before that I was eating 3 times a day, my diet, for over like 6-7 years, and 2 years ago I actually changed and I only eat 1 time a day. I only eat 1 time a day in the late afternoon, normally early evening. And then I succeed, meaning it's not so much the mental state, it's more the state where I am, if I'm traveling or if I have friends over, I cannot do it, but I try to keep at least 48 hours per week.
You take 1 meal a day to allow yourself to be a bit constantly fasting or intermittently fasting.
Yes, and on top of that,
you don't have like some specific 1 meal a day point at a certain hour. It's more the fasting period, which
yes,
is important.
It's a fasting period. I try to fast 20 hours, 21 hours every day. And on top of that, I try to fast for minimum 48 hours to 72 hours. So
like
meaning
regularly,
time a week. Yes. I try to eat 5-6 days, and then I do a pause for 2-3 days.
Oh, nice! How do you live it?
Actually, it's just fantastic. Because
do you prepare it? Like a few days before, are you a little bit like, I'm not going to eat?
Absolutely not. No. Sometimes it happens that I think to myself, wow, it's five, six days over now, that meaning that I'm eating 5-6 days.
Yeah.
And now actually I should stop for 2-3 days. And then I get, nah, not today. Today I want to eat still. That happens.
So you're not super strict.
And then I eat, for example, 7 days in a row. I mean, in a row, 1 time a day. And then I decide. And what I normally do is the first 24 hours, dry fasting.
Okay.
Completely dry, nothing.
Okay.
And I also take supplements, of course, every day. And I don't do anything. I don't ingest anything into my body on that day.
Okay, nothing comes into the mouth.
No supplement, nothing.
Okay.
So that's for 24 hours, and then on the next 24 hours, I do just water.
Yeah, okay.
Just water. And on the third day, I might start with a celery juice, a tea,
yeah,
something
you
like
have
this.
Like a little recovery.
Exactly.
Time.
Not eating, just one juice, one, two juices per day, very soft ones, and tea. And then on the after 72 hours, I have a nice
cool.
meal again, a nice
cool.
treat again.
Yeah.
But again, always only one time a day.
Do you think it like because it's like was one of my students that suggested that back in the temple that everything we do daily,
mm-hmm.
That it is like, bon, me, I'm not the purest, huh? Mm-hmm. Like smoking, mm-hmm. or talking too much, or eating, or drinking. He would say like that one time a week, whatever we do every day, mm-hmm. we should stop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you think, do you, because you say you stop drinking and eating, let's say one time a week, do you think that other habits, a bit like, you know, in the Ramadan, it's not only to stop eating, it's also to stop eventually criticizing the others or being judgmental about self. Do you think that would be a good add-on to one time a week dedicate to stopping something we do every day?
Absolutely. So first of all, everything that you mentioned, we can put into that whole container that we call fasting.
Yeah.
And fasting doesn't necessarily only need to be not eating food. Fasting is also not drinking.
Yeah.
I mean, when I'm saying not drinking, I don't mean drinking alcohol. For example, don't drink alcohol. When I say not drinking, I mean not drinking.
Yeah.
Not drinking liquids. But then fasting is also not smoking. Fasting is also sexually fasting, for example.
Okay.
Yeah, things like this. So fasting can have many aspects. So I'm definitely convinced that anything that is habitual needs to be broken.
Yeah, like
at one stage.
Phone, for example.
Yes.
One day a week, the phone should stay off.
That's also fasting.
24 hours, yeah.
Perfect. Social media fasting.
Yes. Seven, sixth dimension.
Exactly. So everything that we are able to break just shows us that that actually we don't need that.
Okay.
Yeah, there are so many aspects to it. First of all, it's healthy.
What is interesting, like for a religious guy like me, where life would be made of constant habit, that a spiritual add-on would be like, no, the habit must be broken.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes confronting for me when I intentionally break some habits that people put on monks, you know, like, oh, certainly monks, they do this, they don't do this, they don't do this, they don't do this, they don't do that, or free divers, they don't do this, they don't do this. I think it's really interesting to break habits eventually in both senses, that if you never party, for example, would be nice that once sometime you have a good celebration and a party. Do you think it would go in both senses? Or only, let's say, into the meditative purity direction, to be spiritual?
I mean,
like a vitality boost.
Vitality boost is one question.
Yeah.
To be it spiritual is another for me. I mean, we have so many people, remarkable people on this planet. I mean, just look at Osho, right? Osho was teaching, a very good spirituality in my eyes, and on the other hand, he had, I don't know how much, 99 Rolls Royce and how many golden
but they weren't his, he said.
Okay. he used them,
yes,
meaning he used also that luxury, and
yeah.
And I do see how that benefits the life vitality, meaning the freshening up, because it's something, everything that we do, not habitual, in a way is somehow shaking up for the system, isn't it?
Yes,
right?
Totally.
If we are 5 days in a warm room,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden we jump out half naked into the cold garden, boom.
Yeah, or if you live all year long in Holland, sometimes it's good to go somewhere else to see that beyond that clouds, there is sun,
Exactly. So definitely breaking habits is very good. And coming back to, you know, like add-ons, you were asking me, do you do some process with the food?
Yeah.
I have to say for definitely a period of, I kind of over only the last months I lost it, not lost it, but didn't do it anymore. And I could not explain you why, but for at least 20 years, I was blessing my food.
Yeah, that's what happened, huh? With the spiritual add-ons. They come, they go, and then we miss them and we would like to bring them back. And it's a little bit like playing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have the same in the temple. The evening meal is not a sacred meal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's a top up for the monks that like to eat a lot. But the morning meal, there is chanting on the food. And I remember that compared to, I don't know what was happening in the mind of the others. But when I would, let's imagine this was my bowl, I would take it like this. We don't use these fingers. Mm-hmm. Just if you want to reproduce it one day, you hold your food like this, and then we will sing this sutra.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember one day this Argentinian monk, while we were singing the sutra, when the sutra is finished, he asks the master, why do we sing the sutras holding the food like this? And my master likes to dodge the difficult question, and this was one for him. So I interrupted him and said, because when we sing to our food, the sound of our vibration, like bujo, gapila, the sound of our vibration makes that the food vibrates on the same frequency than ourselves, and so is more digestible. Fantastic. And I remember both of the monks, my master and this Argentinian monks, looked at each other like, that was like a good input, a good add-on.
The way how I used to do it, and probably I feel, as we talk now, to come back to it, I would just stay. And so people think, when you say like, bless your food,
yeah.
I didn't really bless the food, neither intentionally, nor I would speak something. I always try to be completely empty of mind. Not to say thank you very much that I get this food and whatever.
But you would put your hands in a certain position.
I would put the hands 10, 15 centimeters above the food and would hold it maybe for 20 seconds, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And that then happens exactly
what,
exactly, being completely empty. And then exactly happens, because then the vibrational field flows the best. Then exactly happens what you just said. Your vibrational field is applied to the food on an energetical level before physically it enters your mouth. And then I would do the opposite, and then I would go like this.
Oh, nice.
One time, you know? That means now you take the energy, the vibrational field of the food, and you make your body in that way, like a shower,
yeah,
you know,
okay.
You shower it over.
Excellent.
You. Yeah, and then and you know, if people do it, you can feel what is the whole practice about that. Generally speaking, one very big part of it, not one very big part beyond the vibrational level and the frequency level to match, right, is mindfulness, because by doing these things, we are not just sitting on a table and rushing and watching on the phone and eating our food. No, we need to take a pause for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, for example, I didn't think anything. I didn't talk inside to the food or something, like a prayer, thank you very much or something.
Yeah.
No, just be completely empty. And then it's almost like the whole energy that the food will give you practically is already in the body.
Yes, I was thinking you don't even need to eat the food.
Here you go. You could now say, thing is done.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
But then, of course, for the body and for the perceptual thought, let's taste the salt, let's taste the thing. So That's definitely something to be mindful about, the ingestion of anything into the body, mm-hmm. whether be it drinking, alcohol, be it food, be it smoking is also in ingesting something yeah. into the body in a yeah. way.
You know, I would like to that we switch to another level of spiritual add-ons and get a little bit away from the food and the drink. Okay, I think by now we've shown different things: chanting, vibrating, making your mind empty. There is, and I profit of your presence to ask you this, and because you're my bro and I have a lot of consideration for everything you say, do you have any add-ons for the emotional body? Is there, do you have, like, for example, when you're a little bit drowning inside of an emotion? I don't mean anger, because anger, when we're drying it, for me, anger is not really an emotion. Mm-hmm. It's like a reaction mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. some stress. Mm-hmm. But for example, sadness, loneliness, mm-hmm. This kind of really like drowning emotion where you have the feeling you sink inside of it. Mm-hmm. Do you have any specific magic sentence, action, practice to transcend the drowning into emotions? It's because Zen monks, you know, we flush, mm-hmm. okay, like the big ocean, mm-hmm. The bigger inner ocean is gonna flush the emotion, and mm-hmm. we won't even like bother about mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. Which makes that we are a little bit emotionally retarded mm-hmm. as monks. That's mm-hmm. why I ask you the mm-hmm. question.
Generally speaking, I always make a big difference between feelings and emotion.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, feelings is, I say it very blunt, feelings is something natural and emotion is an illusion made up disease. Okay, for me.
Emotion is that?
An illusionally made up disease.
Okay.
Disease.
Okay.
Not an illness, but a disease. You're okay, not okay. easy anymore.
Okay, okay.
Right?
Okay.
As you just said, feeling, and anger is a feeling, right?
Yeah.
Emotion are these hard-blooded outbursts that they come and they go, because a feeling can be long, right? Mm-hmm. You can be angry for a very long time. But an emotion
yes.
is mostly coming and going. I mean, takes can take a few minutes, can take even an hours. But emotion is not something that is going on constantly.
I mean, look at the guys that are depressed, for example. A depression can
but
go on
depression
for
is
years.
Not really. Is depression an emotion?
I don't know.
No, I would not. I would not categorize
I guess
it.
That the people who are depressed are like mostly having a dry. They are drowning themselves in any kind of, you know, like I don't know. My depressions like go back when I was a late teenager. But in a depression, if someone says no, you're sinking into nobody loves me, and mm-hmm. and eventually you have this so much lack of self confidence, mm-hmm. you can't even go in shop mm-hmm. or go in public.
That's an emotion.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
And what is the difference? That is an emotion that comes from a story that the perceptual thinking is making up.
Yes.
I was a child and nobody likes me and
yes.
nobody, and now I'm
yes.
hearing this thing. That's an emotion. It's not a feeling.
Yes.
It's not a feeling.
So by now, what would you recommend?
So all
when
the time
you're facing this.
Yes, all the time when I in my life was facing a shadow moment of the soul.
Okay.
Yeah. Something happened that would impact me. You know, that I was really like contracting, you know, where my body was contracting or I was contracting,
okay.
mentally contracting. Fortunately, I had this sentence always with me, and I was always able to practice it. I was always able to keep one hand above the water and lift myself out. There was still this bar hanging, and this bar I was carrying with me my all time of my life, metaphorically speaking. When I was drowning, in some kind of these feelings, I was always able to catch that bar. And what was that bar? That bar was that one sentence saying, okay, now you are in contraction. What is in this very moment the possibility of expansion? Where is there a possibility to expand no matter what's happening? And I can only speak from that perspective as I have experienced it.
Yeah,
I cannot say, other people might say yes, but this doesn't...
Yeah, but that would help you to get focused on something else than your own drowning, right?
Absolutely, because the own... So, like, let's say it also can be a psychological trick. I just told myself another story because this story...
Psychological tricks are sometimes spiritual add-ons.
Absolutely. I told myself another story because that story I didn't like anymore.
Yeah.
Or that story was not helpful for me or not...
Awesome.
You see, a story, meaning I was like, okay, you know... difficult to explain. It was this feeling that I personally in this life I have this idea of always being taken care. I never had an idea of, oh my God, you know, I don't have enough money, or I end up on the street, or whatever. Even if in situations where I had little money or where I had no money.
Yeah.
I was never drowning then.
Yeah.
Because I always knew, no, I mean, you know, we are living in a big, complex construct of a lot of stories.
Yeah.
And if we believe all these stories, that's where we start to drown.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit difficult also to talk on these add-ons when you are emotional.
Yeah.
Because any add-on... When you are emotional, when you're depressed, what you just mentioned will always be only a remedy.
Yes.
And it will always be a story. If we go into that topic, from my perspective, we would need to start on a different level. Why does it even happen that I get this
I
depression?
I understand this, but this will be like going into a process.
Absolutely.
And the idea is more like, you know, that's what I sometimes call like pearls of wisdom or glitters of wisdom. If I understand well, which I will try because I have to face emotions, not because I'm a monk that I don't have emotions. But I like that you suggest that we have to ask ourselves where we can expand.
Mm-hmm.
You're sad because of a certain context, so we can imagine like a seed wanting to get to the surface and sprout, but there is that stone, and that stone is in that moment of sadness. In which other way, where can we expand? I like it.
Yeah, like
I like it a lot, and I will help the person who does that exercise, I assume, to a little bit like change the focus and not being looking at the grinding the charcoal constantly. Yeah, it's cool. Me, I have the tendency to say, to try to define the emotion, anger. Whenever I don't like to consider that anger is an emotion, because when the people consider anger as an emotion, they give themselves a false excuse. Anger is a reaction to some kind of stress, and when we let express anger, we've just missed patience. So I'm a little bit rude with the people getting angry. But for example, sadness, I would recognize I'm sad, and I would say to myself, sadness is not an illusion. The person who's sad is the illusion. And that will help me to accept that sadness as not being something I need to personalize. Understand? And I will accept like pure sadness, eventually cry a moment or give the sign of that emotions, and then rebuild. Then rebuild. So instead of like trying to change my focus of direction, I would try to like get the full load inside, accept it, and rebuild myself newly, create a new, let's say, eventually a new illusion of myself before the next emotion kick.
I was sad in the last few days, I have to say. One of my dear brothers, a Maori shaman, and a person that was my friend, and then we did a lot of spiritual actions together, spiritual expeditions together. He transcended his body 2 days ago, and that message reached me, obviously, with sadness. Yeah. And here at the same moment, there was a moment where I had really, where I was going into grief, really. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, I saw all these beautiful moments that we spent together.
Yeah.
You know, and then my heart was really laughing, you know.
Yeah.
Also seeing it, obviously, from the perspective that once you have reached some knowing and some understanding, we know that, you know, the transcending of the body means nothing in the bigger picture.
Yeah, okay. It's still hard for those who stay.
Yeah, but it's hard for them. We always do. That's what we always say. We always do funerals. We only do for the community. We don't do funerals for the person.
You know. No. Definitely.
It's always for the community. So.
We can talk about another emotion. Do you consider, for example, when you are joyful? I mean, like, when we fall into sadness, we tend to try to change our ways. Mm-hmm. It's not super funny to be sad. Mm-hmm. When we are joyful, do you do something specific? Like, do you celebrate when you are joyful, or do you give thanks or something like that?
You mean when I feel happy?
Yeah.
Do I...
Do you do the same introspection of your happiness and have a relationship with it? Because, for example, when you say when you're sad or drowning into sadness, you will look for which way, in which way you could expand. And when you feel joy, for example, would you let it go just like this, or would you also temper it?
Well, I mean, if we would see it from a the same perspective, then you would say, okay, wow, now I'm expansion.
Yeah, okay.
How can I contract? You know.
Yeah,
but no, I'm not doing this. Of course, there is an introspection in that way. What is this joy? Mm-hmm. This is a question that is always asked.
Yeah.
You know, is this a joy that is a sustainable joy? Mm-hmm. So is it coming from a sustainable soil?
Yeah.
Or is it a joy that is coming because I don't know, you got a present, or you know, tomorrow you're going on a holiday and you know, meeting friends.
Yeah.
And so if the latter is the case, here again, I go to an inquiry and say, okay, where is that coming from? You know, this kind of. For me, as long as the joy stays on a certain frequency band quite straight, then for me personally, it's okay.
Yeah, okay.
But if the joy gets these things, then it would become an emotion.
Okay.
You know, then it would become the heat, and the heat pushes you up and lets you fall. Pushes you up and lets you fall.
Yeah. How did you call the emotion before, like a disease of the soul, or
a dis-ease?
Yeah.
Yeah. A dis-ease. Huh? Yeah.
Okay. So for you, you're not this much into emotions, right?
No, absolutely not. Yeah, I try. Okay. I try, but the thing is, this must not be misunderstood. Not that I am not empathic to people. Yeah. Not that I don't have a heart open to people that are struggling.
Yeah.
But I have always, I would not even say tried, it was in a way natural to stay in a way emotionally stable.
Yes, you have a mission also.
To have kind of a line, it not always succeeded. There was also point, you know, like spikes out and spikes down,
yeah,
for sure. But for example, humans tend to forget things when they are in an emotional turmoil.
Yeah.
Forget things that they have agreed to someone. Yeah. They don't show up.
Yes, 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 yes.
They
yes.
throw people out of their house.
Yeah, they forget that they love these people when they get angry against them.
You told me a story what happened in your temple. If guests that come in, a fuse burns.
Yes,
That is an emotional completely meltdown.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And so obviously, these kind of things are very detrimental for your surroundings,
yeah,
because nobody can anymore, in a way, have trust on you,
yeah,
you know, that you will be a stable personality, that you will not be corrupt. We've been talking the other day about, are you corruptible, you know, are you,
yes,
you
yes,
know?
Yes, 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 yes,
we
yes.
can not only say, are you only spiritual corruptible,
no,
are you only corruptible by money?
Corruptible.
We cannot only say, are you corruptible only by money? Are you corruptible, you know, by this and that? Also emotional.
Yes, yes,
is
yes.
a certain way of corruption,
yes,
because it corrupts you.
Yes, me, I resonate a lot with the people.
Mm-hmm.
That is my nature,
mm-hmm,
to be in resonance. So I'm easily corrupted by the emotion of the other one, or the goals of the other one, or the enthusiasm of the other one. I resonate a lot, mm-hmm, to the emotions of people. Mm-hmm.
I also meant not just that other people are corrupted by the emotions of others.
Mm-hmm.
One is corrupting itself through an emotional outburst.
Yeah.
Because you cannot, these people tend to not hold anymore,
yeah,
their position.
Yeah.
And staying to what they promised to the other person, that you can be a reliable,
yeah,
you know, a reliable.
So for you, emotion is part of that turmoil of the world.
Yes, I could say it like this.
Yeah,
I
pretty agree with you that, mm-hmm, I mean, it's also my education, mm-hmm, and my conditioning, but like monks and mostly Zen monks, mm-hmm, they're not supposed to give this much, mm-hmm, into, like, not supposed to get angry, or if you have an emotion, mm-hmm, like, pass, it's, mm-hmm, just a thought.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's just a thought, mm-hmm, to the one we identified a little bit too much.
I already hear people saying out there, yeah, but this is crazy, we have psychologists, we have emotions,
yes,
and we need to go deep into the emotions and things like this, and I will very clearly say them, no.
Man.
That doesn't mean I am not grieving. That doesn't mean I am not crying. That doesn't mean that one day I'm not shouting.
Yeah.
However, this, how do you say, zoozing in this mesh of that emotional soup and...
Whenever, but you would not consider psychological introspection as a good spiritual add-on? Do you think that for your, let's say, spiritual development or spiritual harmony and equilibrium, because you don't directly believe in spiritual development, mm-hmm, but for your harmony and your equilibrium, would you consider psychotherapy? To say the big word, psychotherapy, or meeting psychiatrists and psychologists as a good spiritual add-on, or something a little bit like fentanyl or painkillers, like pills we don't want to touch?
Definitely the latter. And absolutely I would not consider it, because I consider any kind of science a play in the sandbox.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, okay.
A play in a sandbox. It's like children who are playing. Ha! I want to know what this sand corn is made of. Okay, now that is what science is for, mm-hmm, me, in all ways. Whether it's science in physicists, whether it is in psychology, it doesn't matter. It's always we want to find out something.
Yeah.
And we want to find it out by taking that.
Yeah.
And and opening it.
You see this video on the social networks. There is this guy like interviewing when they go out of their office. He's interviewing psychologists and psychiatrists and ask them, how many people did you cure or heal? Mm-hmm. And all of them get confused and don't even dare to say, no, it's not meant to cure you and heal you. It's just like...
meant to talk to someone and...
Yeah, I don't know. Invest your money into creating a bigger sandbox. So you
absolutely.
Never really grow
absolutely.
Up.
And I can tell you, people who are who say, yes, I have been at a psychotherapist and has helped me very much and I'm very happy now.
You think they have lost a connection with something deeper?
They are not awakened.
Okay.
They are not awakened.
Okay.
Because that everything that plays on the level of the human psyche shows that being is not awakened.
Okay.
That being has no understanding of what cosmic consciousness means and what, you know.
So let me bring the subject now to practice. Do you have, because I understand, and I mean, I didn't understand everything about you, but I understand that there is a big aspect of transcendence, that you've been using drums and specific ceremonies, and that all of this integrates itself in a context of like tribal wisdom and ancient wisdom. But is there like little practices? I don't know, maybe a specific exercise of yoga or a little pearl of practice that you've added to the ancient wisdom to make your spiritual vitality always in harmony. Is there something, for example, when you wake up, is there something you tend to do every day or before to go to sleep? Do you pray?
No, I don't pray. No, I don't pray. No, no, I don't pray at all. I don't pray. No, pray is...
breathing exercises.
Yes, breathing exercise, definitely. From the Kriya Yoga.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah, for example, one breathing exercise, a simple one is to... You do that 3 times, you change the nozzles. And then you go. Three times.
Okay. So 3 times in, out, in, out,
in, out.
And then the last one in and.
No, but 3 times you do the. You do that 3 times as well. Yeah, you hold it. I mean, I didn't hold it now, but you hold it like 10, 15 seconds and then whoo.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, that is that gives you some kind of an instant boost, especially,
yes.
For example, we're coming back to the what you said when you're angry or something like this.
Yeah.
You know, when you are in rage.
Yeah, when you're really angry, man.
Yeah, then when you're really angry.
I mean, for me, being angry is being berserk. You know?
Yeah. That is one. Another one is, for example, to inhale the same way, always into one nozzle, and all the way while you inhale, you contract from the foot on every muscle that is in the body upwards. So you go like, you contract, and the last thing that contracts is the face. So at the end, you will be in a posture like this. And then you hold it, and then you go. Really,
you have still contracted.
Yes, and so you start really at the toes, and you wander up the whole body, and you contract everything. You contract the buttocks and then the belly and then this
like
and
260
then
260 muscle or something.
Yeah, whatever you can. Of course, yeah, you can knock on it. You know, whatever you, then you contract these muscles and you contract here. Then
and
you contract the neck.
All that in, you know, holding your breath.
Yes. And then okay. Here the face, that looks funny.
No, that doesn't look funny.
And then.
And you have an intention when you exhale?
No, you don't. The best just is always to be empty, just to be empty.
Okay.
I mean, of course, you can have an intention and you can tell, okay, I'm releasing all the energy that doesn't serve
yes,
anymore,
yes,
right?
Yes,
if
yes,
you
yes.
If you want to do that, kind of, you know, affirmations. I'm not so much a fan of neither praying nor affirmations.
When I tried one day, which was funny, I tried in free diving, when I would take my last breath, I would inhale an affirmation,
mm-hmm.
but very simple, without even I am. So, for example, the first one I tried was, in French, bienveillance, you know, when you're benevolent, mm-hmm. something mm-hmm. like this, and watchful of the others. So I would inhale and think, benevolence, and maybe this one was a little bit fake, and then I would dive deep, and see what would happen of that thought the deeper I will go.
Mm-hmm.
That was yeah, I like sometimes to do affirmation if there is a spiritual practice related to it. That's why I asked if there was an intention in your breath. Mm-hmm. Because affirmations for affirmation, I am this, I am that, for me it's just a way to push identification. So I don't think it's affirmation, self-affirmation, yeah, okay, if you really need, but...
There are spiritual practices, small spiritual practices for daily life that I learned when I was staying with the Native American, and one, for example, is called Don't Leave Traces. That means wherever you are, whether it's in a restaurant, whether it's on a toilet, whether it's at home, wherever you are and whatever you do, you leave the place that you have been exactly in the same way that it was before, or better.
Mm.
But you don't leave traces. So if you go to a restaurant, by the time you have eaten, you leave the place, not the table full of breadcrumbs and all kind of things. You leave it like in a completely...
Okay.
Yeah, and that is also a training of... which is helping to, again, be more mindful. Be mindful with other people, be mindful with your surroundings.
Yeah, of your not impact.
Just, your impact, exactly. Yeah. Not just jumping somewhere in and making a lot of dirt and then the others are paid to clean up.
You know? In Zen we have that saying about like spotless Zen.
Mm-hmm.
Like don't let any spot mm-hmm. behind you, like when you finish your bowl, clean mm-hmm. your bowl.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to the toilet, clean. Okay, mm-hmm. well, this I didn't learn in Zen, but with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yes, definitely. I remember also seeing something like the ninjas having some kind of specific mudra.
Mm-hmm.
To hide their traces, so not only the ninja doesn't let like a footprint,
mm-hmm.
but even after doing its action as a spy, let's say, he would do a little meditation with a specific mudra, I don't remember. And this mudra was meant to even remove the traces inside of his own mind.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So he would forget even about his action.
Wow.
Yeah. And for me, it was a bit confronting because that was like the Zen where you don't make any traces and this ninja thing where you would hide their or mm-hmm, make mm-hmm. your traces disappear. And mm-hmm. I was wondering if that was the same.
Mm-hmm.
Is... you know, like, is the spotless Zen, so like, to take like a low-level example, but you go in a toilet, you pee on the side, and the ninja will clean after.
Mm-hmm.
But the monk, he would not pee on the side.
Uh-huh,
okay,
uh-huh,
so
uh-huh.
like, there was like one direction of the mind, what it was like, you don't have any impact. And then I was like the ninja version where you have an impact, but you'll make it disappear afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting.
I would go for the second version, because the monk that doesn't stay with this example doesn't pee to the side in the first place. No. Because everything that happens has some kind of an impact.
Yeah.
Everything that happens in the universe is an energy and an impact that is stored in some way.
Yes.
Yeah. There is nothing to wipe away.
Yeah.
Everything is there always.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
So I would go for the monk style.
Okay. We are no ninjas.
With the ninja. Oh. We are no ninjas. Yeah. Thank you very much for an interesting talk again.
There is an amazing amount of add-ons we can bring in our life, don't you think? If you had to give, an estimation of how many little things you added on your core of spirituality, would you be able to number them? To say, yeah, me, I do 10,000 things on top of it, or do just a few, or would you go to an infinite amount?
I would need to sit down and even think about it to be aware what I'm doing during the whole day, which for me is normality, and for other people they might say, well, is this a special practice you are doing?
Yeah.
I mean, from tongue scratching in the morning when I wake up, oil pulling. First thing when I wake up, oil pulling. Second thing is tongue scraping. Is this normal? I mean, yes, for people.
For you. I was wondering if you were doing oil pulling when I see you the morning.
Yeah, yeah. Then I do, for example, coffee enemas. I do coffee enemas almost every day. Almost every day. I try to do at least 5-6 per week.
Oh, wow.
I don't do them on the week, on the second day of the fasting when I'm dry.
Yeah.
Then I don't do them anymore.
Okay.
So, but normally I do them every day.
Do you think this is how we build like a ritual when these habits, let's say these add-ons, are integrated into daily life? From like add-ons, it becomes routine, and from routine, it becomes like a ritual of life. And that what helps you to maintain, like, let's say, a high level of spiritual realm in your daily life.
I think it helps you, for example, when you have a clean gut. When we say the gut is the second brain, right?
Yeah.
And when you have a clean gut and it's the second brain, you have a clean brain, you are easier to be in meditation, and there is not so much, noise going on.
Yes.
With for example, if you are going out in nature, for example, if you go to nature in a regular pace, like every day, every second day, you do walks in the nature. Mm-hmm. It's not only that your body feels more vital and that you feel more agile, but also your whole attention, your whole centeredness, enables you a better environment to ground your spiritual work on it.
Yeah. So let me ask you eventually one last question, because I know we're getting to the end of it. But do you think to add all these complementary practices represent an effort, or for you it's normal, or if it's fun, from fun and entertaining? How do you manage to bring, like, I mean, like oil pulling, tongue scratching, using a pen for the water, having a specific way to breathe, orienting your mind in a certain direction when you have emotion? That makes like quite a lot of add-ons. What would be the secret to be able to add more of these spiritual little top-ups, add-ons, as we say, without falling into spiritual burnout? I forgot, you know, like nowadays people burn out because they don't manage to go to their yoga anymore. So how do you consider these add-ons? Like a fun, like something normal, or really like an effort on your own, eventually sabotage system? And
Well, for me, saying there is a few things that they are completely natural. I don't even think about them.
Okay.
And there are other things that that they require a little bit more of an effort. When it comes, for example, to do my Qigong exercises every day.
What is the exercise you struggle the most with that you know you should do and you struggle the most with? Not that I want to confront
no,
you with
no,
anything.
No, 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 but it's completely okay. The exercise that I know that I should do is body work.
Yeah.
Is a body workout.
Like sport.
Yeah, you know, stretching. Also Qigong, stretching, weightlifting, and these kind of things. Mm-hmm. There I struggle the most.
Okay.
About you?
Well, me is to turn off most of my addiction patterns because I have a lot of compassion for myself, so I tend to get loose. On smoking or drinking or laughing about things I shouldn't be laughing about or making sometimes silly jokes or stepping over other people's boundaries. I struggle with my, let's say, natural rough behavior, natural animalistic rough behavior, where I'm indeed a little bit destructive and so that's what I would struggle the most with. People who ask me, you're a free diver, you smoke? Yeah, I will find excuses to explain why I keep on doing when I know inside of myself I'm struggling with the idea of like, okay, I should not smoke at all. Mm-hmm. I should not drink at all. Mm-hmm. I give the change. Mm-hmm. When I have, then I will imply a little bit like what you said about emotions. Where can I expand? Mm-hmm. Okay, if I hurt myself with an addiction pattern, I would give the chance. I smoke cigarettes, but I do most of the day at least half an hour or maybe 1 hour every day of conscious breathing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And when I get into more intense period, I would clean my lungs and do hyperventilation exercises. So when I hurt myself to a difficulty, instead of trying to bring the difficulty down, I will give the change. Okay, so you've eaten a lot. By the next day, you go for an hour of jogging. You've been drinking, drinking in social surrounding, and eventually creating karma during one day silence and isolation. To let's say at least assume the person I am. If I can't assume my impact on the world all the time, I struggle with a lot of implementation of spiritual add-ons because there is ones that I've totally integrated that are for me natural, as you mentioned. Like some you don't even realize, and there is others that I see the good habits of friends. When I see you oil pulling, washing your mouth in the morning, I'm wondering if I would be able to dedicate 20 minutes on the morning. That would mean I have to wake up 20 minutes even earlier and this kind of things. But most of my struggle is not to add something, would be to remove for me the discrepancies of my own self towards my spiritual practice. So because I like a good life, I'm absolutely not into judgment, nor of the others eventually, but I'm not made judgmental, and I have the same for me, so I tend to be a little bit loose with something, with the one I struggle, and I know I shouldn't. I know I shouldn't. If I would reach, let's say, higher levels of vibration and control over my realm.
All right. Appreciate very much our conversation.
Yes,
appreciate the sharing.
Thank you very much.
And I hope it was an interesting episode for the people out there, that you can take something into your daily life, and you can always send us a message if you need some more tips what you can integrate in your daily practices to make yourself, or to put yourself in a position from where on spiritual practices become easier and less effortless.
Thank you for joining us on this enlightening journey with another voice of the One Mind. We thank you for your support, and to ensure that you never miss a drop of this wisdom nectar, click subscribe and stay connected with us on the onemind.org. Until next time, may your path be illuminated with profound insights and growth.